I feel very unqualified to give this message today. I just want to start out there and be very open today. This is about resilient leadership. And I never in my life planned on God putting me in a position to be in any kind of leadership in the church. I praise God every day that He has allowed me to be part of His church, and that He has allowed me to speak God's word. But one of the principles that has really sunk into my life this year that He has been bringing over and over and up, and I speak about this often, is the principle of familiarity breeds contempt. And how many times do we take things in life for granted? We talked about that last week in our marriage. I mean, how many times when you just stopped and were thankful for your marriage? How many times that you just stop and be thankful? You know, I have those days. Anybody else in here also become a complainer? It's hard to admit when you stand up here, but I have those days where I am just a complainer. And some days it's because I forget the goodness of God in every small detail of my life. And one of the things that I think we all can take and find familiar and forget the beauty of it and the importance of it is being a member of God's church. We're not just somebody who signed a card and a member of Upwards Church. That's not what any of this is about. This is being a member of the body of Christ. The greatest calling that has ever been put on man is to follow Christ. And that's what we are all called to be. Today we're going to talk about leadership, but I want to start out by realizing that no one, not the person standing up here singing, not the person standing up here speaking, not the person in the back, not the person sitting in the pews, is any more important or of any more value to God than any other one. We are all on even ground. We learned of that last week about the wives and the husbands. We talked about submission. Now, that's such a hard thing to realize. That doesn't mean one is better than the other one or one is more important than the other one. That's just a different role that God has placed us into. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This doesn't make me more important or you more important or lesser than that, especially as it comes to being valued in the eyes of God. We can call ourselves pastors, and we can call ourselves leaders, or we can call ourselves members, but when it all comes down to it, we are all on level ground at the foot of the cross, and we all are called to do one thing holy in our life, and that's W-H-O-L-L life. That means commit my life to, and that is following Christ. And I'll just say this with good advice right now. Follow no one who is not following Christ. If your teacher, if your pastor, if your husband is not following Christ, we need to speak into their lives and get them on the track of following Christ. So today we pick up in 1 Peter 5, and this is about resilient leadership. And I want to also start it. When you become a member of the church, or especially if you stand up here and sing, if you are an usher who takes communion, if you are one, again, who just sits in the pew, who teaches kids, who does administration, when you step in to follow Christ, for me, really put this on my heart this morning, your life becomes an open book. Like it or not, your life has to become an open book, because God does not want people in positions of falsehood. That's what He speaks so much against false teachers, against false leaders, and especially just against false Christians. And there's a lot of false Christians out there today. And He calls us to be, again, true followers. This is not perfect followers of Christ. This is true followers of Christ. Am I following Christ? That's a question we have to start asking ourselves. Am I attending church? That's one thing about this message who's been really powerful to me studying and reading. And Daryl, I tell you what, Daryl is an amazing teacher. And I hope for the gifts of that one day, because the way he knows God's word and the way he teaches God's word and the way he lives God's word. And I want to say we don't judge Daryl, and he's not called to be a perfect man. He's called to be a Christ follower. And we're going to look in here today. We play a part as well in Daryl's leadership. But again, we have to be an open book in here. So we're going to begin, if you take out your outline, it's in 1 Peter 5, but I want to step back a little bit and go into 1 Peter 4, verse 17. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin." And then where does it say it begins? At the house of God. I say you're going to be an open book because God is going to reveal to you your character. And he's going to reveal to others your character. And as soon as you step out and you say, "I am following Christ," you know it or not, believe it or not, eyes turn toward you and they watch you. And Satan brings people around you to watch you and test you. And that's what he's talking about here. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." What is the house of God? The house of God is us. The house of God is the church. He's not just talking about a building. Remember, we are the house of God. It's not just this building. This building is a great building we come to meet and fellowship and gather together. But then does that mean when we walk out the doors they're no longer the church? No, when we walk out the door, that's when we really become the church. We are the house of God. Remember, your body, he says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are the house, the body of God. And he says judgment will begin there. That means he is testing to see if your faith is true. Is testing to see that if this body of believers is truly following after him. Remember what it says in Matthew 7 about when trials come, when wind comes, when storms come. It doesn't say if they come. When they come and they beat against your house, he comes and he tests. Wow, I'll go study more English when I'm done here. They tests the foundation of it. We see it in this church. We need to be encouraged by that and welcome God's testing of purification. Do we like testing and trials? No. But it renders fruit. We are called to live a life of bearing fruit, and that's what God wants us to do. He says, and if it begins with us first, this is so, think about those around you and place this into context of those who don't know Christ, your friends and your co-workers and your children. It says, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? He says, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, we take salvation as well, another thing, for so granted. We have, man, how offensive to God is it that we think we have what it takes to save ourselves? He says, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? He says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. Remember that when you place yourself completely and wholly into the will of God, Lord, my life is yours. That's what we're talking about, being submissive. That God, my life is yours. He says, we will suffer, and it is according to his will when we trust in his will, because he wants to bring out the things usually that we want to keep inside. He wants to bring out our character. And I don't know about you, a lot of days I just think, you know what, Lord, my character is good enough today. I just like to keep it where it is and not have to grow, because growing pains. So he's speaking of that, and he's writing to a persecuted church. They're being very harshly persecuted. And he's beginning to realize, and he's letting them know, remember, that you're testing. Don't think it's something odd or that you're doing something wrong. Your testing is to to grow your character, to grow your faith, to show your faith to others. And now he begins to talk to about the structure of the church and to the leaders of the church. He says, to the elders among you. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up in the church. But that doesn't mean I was a Christian. I was far from it. That means I went to church. Why did I go to church? Because Mama made me. That's the only reason I went to church. If she would have let me sleep late, how many of in here when we were young, we would have stayed home and slept late? But we were called and we were told to go to church. But I didn't realize all of the things that went into the church. All of the things that Daryl has on his plate. And all of the responsibility that each one of you sitting in that chair carry. The responsibility isn't on just the man behind the pulpit. The responsibility isn't just behind the person up here singing or the one in the back. The responsibility for bringing others to Christ. We just sang the song, Lead Me to the Cross. That's one of our big responsibilities, is lead others to Jesus Christ. We do that by speech, and we do that by the way we live. But now elders, we are set in a leadership position to lead those. So he's speaking to the elders among you. Now there's been a big controversy about church structure of elders and deacons. Let's start out really quick. So all of us are saints. If you receive Christ, you are a saint. You don't have to die and go through some ritual and then be called to sainthood. When you receive Christ, you are a saint. And he writes to all of the saints. And then we're going to see also that we're going to talk in a minute just about the deacons. The deacons are diakonos. Daryl is the Greek guy. I'm not. I'm Texan. So Greek in Texas language, diakonos is what we're saying. It doesn't sound all that powerful. We'll stay for the second service. It sounds much better when Daryl speaks that, believe me. Or they're called to be doulos, but both of them mean a servant of Christ. So again, that's what we all are. We just play different roles in the body of Christ. But remember, he says all roles in the body are important as each other. So, and then the elders, and now people think of the elders, and they're different in here. It's elders and bishops and overseers and preachers and teachers. They're all encompassed in the same thing. The elder doesn't just mean the age. The elder means his maturity level is what an elder really means. It's not his office. It's his faithfulness and his maturity when he becomes an elder. Now, elders began back in Genesis 50 and Exodus 3, all the way in Moses, when they had the elders come of the families to bury Jacob, all the way into Exodus and all the way through the Old Testament and New Testament, we see the word speaking about elders. But we are all servants, again, but we are called to different roles. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. We're going to see that as Paul. He was also an elder, but he was also a pastor. He was also a preacher. He was also a teacher, but he was also a follower. I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Remember that and be encouraged as that. He said, I saw Christ through his suffering, what he suffered for humanity, what he suffered for me, he says, what he suffered for the world. I saw that, but we see and we will take part, he says, in the sufferings of Christ, but we will also share in the glory to be revealed. And he calls us as leaders to be shepherds. Some days that is an overwhelming word. Let me take you here. My dad was a pastor. And again, and I've told you that before, I was going to plan on being anything except like my dad. And here we are. But I didn't realize the things that go into. And please think of this when you speak of Daryl, when you speak to Daryl. He says, my brethren, like many of you, become teachers, and that's what we're just talking about, shepherds and leaders and elders. My brethren, let not many of you, and you know they never told me about this before I started. And Joe knows where I'm going with this too, don't you? He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers or elders or overseers or shepherds, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. See, that's why I don't like to be called pastor. You can call me just Speaker Brian. Make me feel much better. He says, we shall receive a stricter judgment. I don't understand how people can stand in the pulpit and promote falseness and lies and deceit to their congregation and think that they will not be judged. That makes no sense to me. And we see it in churches all the time. I don't understand that. When you say, he talks about, I judge the house of God, let me tell you just briefly, there's two kinds of judgment. The reason they can do that is because of Romans 1:28. His judgment is not always putting you through trials. And I want to speak to Daryl, and I want to speak to everybody here. When a church is going through trials, and you see it, and the hardships are coming, take encouragement in that God is leading you through those because he wants to purify something in your church. It's the ones who have gone so far off the edge in the book of Romans, he says that I shall turn them over. That is God's judgment. God's judgment doesn't always come in the way of trials. Sometimes it comes in the way of letting his hands off of the wheel and letting you say, you want to have your own way? You want to say that's in there? You want to teach and preach this? Then you know what? I withdraw myself, and you have that. And then you will stand before me in the time of judgment, and we'll go over all that. His judgment sometimes means he removes himself. So I want to encourage you of that. But it says, be shepherds of God's flock. So think of that as well as Daryl and our leaders, myself and Joe and Danny and all the ones who God has called to be leaders, to be shepherds. This is not to be perfect people. But this is, he calls us to be. Christ entrusts, this is the first point. That's a really hard point, isn't it? He calls leaders to what? Lead, yeah. It's like he calls singers to what? Okay, y'all are paying attention. I just wanted to make sure. But he calls each one of us. And again, when we, this is the church structure, but I also want to bring it down into a point because this is what we are called to do as church leaders, to be shepherds of God's flock. But we also have to begin to realize that when we get up and we go to work and we call ourselves a Christ follower, we also become shepherds of those around us, of the people that we love. We are shepherds of our family. We should be considering ourselves shepherds of our friends because we want to lead people to Jesus Christ. Don't ever say that God didn't place you in a leadership position. He did. When you are following him, you are leading others, like it or not. But he calls us in the church leaders, he says, be shepherds of God's flock. This is God's congregation. And Daryl has to realize that, and I have to realize that, and people who lead in the church have to realize that first of all, this church, and we say what it is, and Daryl was used, and God called him to start the ministry of Upwards Church, but this is not Daryl and Nikki's church. This is God's church. It began with Christ, and it began in Acts. And the book of Acts shows us that this is God's church. It wasn't Paul's church. It's not Peter's church. This is God's church. And that's why we have to take it so seriously of what we say and do with the church, in the church. Who is our employer? It is Christ. It is God. He is the headship over this church. So we have to be shepherds of, that's why I say, of God's flock. This is not Daryl's flock, but he has replaced the responsibility upon the leaders of the church to shepherd his flock. So I want you to know sometimes that when leaders come across with that, My wife already knows to not speak to me much on Sunday mornings. Not, you know, I can be a jerk on Mondays and Tuesdays. It doesn't really matter. But she knows that when you were in that place and you have the responsibility come upon you to think that the words that I say, he says, we talked about that in group in Matthew 12, it will show evidence of my life. It will show, and I will have to pay an account. I will have to stand before Christ and give an account for useless and careless words. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. What does shepherds do? We lead, and then we feed. We lead by example. So we always have to say again that leadership in the church, your life is an open book, because you don't just lead when you're here on Sunday mornings. You lead when you're in the Philippines. You lead when you're at home. You lead at work. You lead all the time. You know, we're not just a Christian for 2 hours on a Sunday. We're a Christ follower 24/7. We share our faith 24/7 by the way we live, by the way we act, by the way we go through trials, by the way we shepherd God's flock. But we have to be following the leader. So we also feed the flock. So that's why we come, and that's why we gather together on God's Word. That's why Daryl has the things that he puts out there for people to read the Bible on the Bible app. That's why he puts his blog out, because God has given certain people discernment, better discernment than others, that can discern the Word of God and speak the truth of the Word of God, and that's what he does. We feed the sheep. But also, the sheep have to learn how to eat themselves. It's not Daryl's job alone just to feed the sheep. It's the sheep's job, and I'm just a sheep as anybody else. It's my job to feed myself as well. He leads me to green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But I got to put my face down there and drink, and I also have to put my head down in the grass and eat. He calls us to also feed ourselves. And I want my congregation, I want God's congregation that we speak to know God's Word. It drives me crazy to no end that people stand up here and say, oh, no, you don't need to read God's Word. I'll interpret it to you myself. That is such a sinful statement. Because we are called to spread God's Word, to share God's Word, and to have others know God's Word. And I welcome... if I speak wrong in God's Word, and I know Daryl does too, if we speak wrongly in here and you disagree with that, please come. That's why I want my congregation to be very intelligent in the Word of God. One of the greatest things that harms the church today is the ignorance of God's Word. We have to be strong, because we're going to look here and see, we face a great enemy. So we have to lead, and we have to feed. We also have to protect God's sheep, God's flock. Daryl tries so hard to protect from other things coming in, other things coming over. He also have to care for the sheep. And that's why we also set up a structure. It's not just Daryl's job to do everything. He also has other overseers and elders and preachers and teachers and leaders that come together, and we are all on one mission. But we're shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. That means he's watching and praying for you. You know that Daryl prays for you? And we sit in these meetings when we have our overseer and pastor's meeting, and Daryl's passion for the church and Daryl's passion for each person in here. He says, watching over them. And why we do this? Not because you must, but because we are willing, as God wants us to be. He's calling us to be. We don't do this for pursuing dishonest gain. I watched my dad preach. He preached for 35 years and never got paid. They paid him in fruit baskets. But that wasn't the reason he did that. I didn't understand that when I was younger. I didn't understand the whole thing of him being called to God as he was until I began to get older and God opened my eyes to those things. But because you are willing, God doesn't want somebody in here to lead his church and to come and be a leader that isn't willing. to, that doesn't desire to. It says being a leader is a great thing to desire. He says, God wants you to be not pursuing dishonest gain. We don't do this for the wrong reasons. We don't do this to get wealthy, but eager to serve. That's what we are all called to do. You realize that's what a Christian is, right? He's one who serves. What did Christ say? I didn't come to be served, but to serve. When we become a Christian, that's what we become. We become a servant of Christ. And who does Christ serve? He serves all people. He came to die for all people. Not just the high people up here, and not just the ones we want to go to. He calls us to be for all people, not lording it over those entrusted to you. It's not our job as well. So like last week, we talked about the husbands and the wives. My wife loved that. She says, what are the points for the husbands and the wives? I said, well, the first point is, wives, you just need to do what your husband tells you to. And I said, the second point was better. Don't argue with your husband. Yeah, as soon as I got up off the floor, I just realized that, no, you know better than that. We joke about that. Is that what we talked about? We joked about that. But we have to be careful as leaders. We think that God has placed us in the position that we lord that over them. No, God will humble you. We're going to look at that here in a second. It is much better to come to God in a humbling yourself position than have God humble you. So we don't lord it over there, because why? What does it say? Over those entrusted to you. That's a terrifying thought to me, because God has entrusted people, my family, my friends, my coworkers. And let me tell you something. If my coworker, read in the book of Ezekiel as he calls him the watchman. He says, if someone goes to hell, is basically what he says, and you knew that person, and you knew they were heading that way, and you did not attempt to stand in their way with the gospel of Jesus Christ, his blood is on your head. Think about the position Daryl takes when he stands up here. Or the position when anyone who stands up here to proclaim the word of God. The people in my sphere that God has called into my life, I have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it scary? Of course it is. Will I be persecuted and laughed at? Of course I will. But when I stand before God, he's not going to like excuses. God is not a God of excuses. God is a God of, like my daddy used to tell me, because I told you so. That's what God, why? Because he cares about and he loves that person that he's placed you into his life to share the gospel with. Now, it's their choice if they choose to follow. You can't save them. That's not your responsibility. But it is your responsibility to make Christ known to them. And they are entrusted to you. They are entrusted to the leaders of the church. But by being examples to the flock, that's how we lead. And when the chief shepherd appears, remember that all the time as well. When we stand up here, or when you're speaking the word of God to somebody, or when you are judging somebody, that the chief shepherd will appear. Christ is coming back. He is the chief shepherd. He leads us, and we follow him. And what does it say about the chief shepherd? That he lays down his life for the sheep. And we are called to be what? We are called to be an example of Jesus Christ. Being a true Christian is not an easy walk. He calls us to lay down our life for the flock. Because he does. He says, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And then he says, in the same way, now he's speaking also to the ones who are younger. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. There again, it's not that you are of less importance. It's not that you are of less value. It is your role in the church. When you are a beginning Christian or when you are a younger Christian, it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And what does it say? As those who must give account. So we must take very seriously as children ministers. I think we should even take that more seriously as those who teach the children. If you stand in that child's room and you teach false doctrine, you don't think God is going to be angry about that? He says, come to me, you who are little children. Come to me as little children. You don't think God's going to hold you responsible for that? But he says, in the same way, you'll also have a position in Christ here. He says, and Christ will. He says, submit yourself to your elders, all of you, clothe yourselves. He's talking about all of us now, from the leaders to all members of God's church. We clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. There's another one of those dirty words in this sermon, submission and humility. Nobody likes to talk about those words. But we learned last week about God will hinder your prayers when you're not treating your wife like you're supposed to be treated. That should be a great warning toward many of us. But he also, what does it say? That he opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So when we come to being proud, to think that I made myself a leader in this church. No, I went kicking and screaming to be a leader in the church. That's the way we should be. We should be appointed by God to be of any position in anything. But we have to have humility in there. And now, humility is not self-abasement. That's not what God, because when you come to yourself, that's not what God's calling you to do in humility, because you are worth something. You are worth Christ's life that he paid for you on the cross. You are worth great treasure to God. So don't ever self-abase yourself. That is pride, to think that you can be lowly enough to please God. There's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we have to be humble enough, and that's what Christianity is so hard, because all the other religions have us doing things, and we take part in it. Christ says, it is done, it is finished. He did everything that we need to do. We just have to follow him. All we have to do is receive his gift and follow him, receive his spirit and follow him. We have to be humble enough to do that. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And he says, humble yourselves. That means I put myself into it's not self-abasement, but it is complete reliance on God is what being humble is. I completely rely on God for all things. Now, he gives me the strength to do those things, but it's through him. And I have to be humble enough and reasonable enough to know that I cannot do anything without him. Just like the saying in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's also a reverse side, I can do no things. Christ even tells us that. You can do no good thing apart from me. We have to live in that position. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. When it's our time, when God sees fit, he will lift you to the position he wants you to, not the position that we want to be. It says, cast all your anxiety on him. The word cast, that's a exaggerated verb there. That means I take all of my anxiety. I can't find my keys, Lord. They're in my wife's car. Believe me, I had that moment of panic this morning. And I kept remembering, now cast all your cares. Cast all your cares. And I was going to call my wife. I'm casting all my cares on God right now, that you will come and get me, please. Funny how God works. He says, cast all your anxiety. Why does he say this? I want everybody to read that and underline that. Because he cares for you. All these other religions, their gods, this says nothing about caring for them. Their religions say that you have to do this and do that and be that and be that. No, God, why? Because he cares for you. And he showed his care for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. he could not show any more care for any way possible that he sent his perfect only son to die for each one of us on the cross. Because he cares for you. And it says, be alert. So Christ will lift up the humble, just as Christ humbled himself. It says, Christ will restore and make you strong. Remember, we find our strength in Christ when we have no strength left. We have the strength of Christ. He will make us strong. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Another thing I talked about, the familiarity breeds contempt. Another principle that God is bringing into my life, really pressing on me, is to live with intention. How many of us drive somewhere, you get there, you don't even remember how you got there? Amen. It's nothing wrong. I'm just saying, I do that about 3 times a week. Or you drive and you really start thinking about something and you look, you're like, wow, I'm 4 exits past where I was supposed to turn to. Or you go and you see this person and you know they're coming and you have no thought process of what you're going to say. They just come and you go and you have this 10-minute conversation and you walk away and you what? You have no clue what you just talked about. It because it becomes an unconscious thing that we do every day. We get up in the morning and we do the same. You know what? Christ never did anything, not one thought, not one word, not one step, without intention. Living with intention is a 24-hour work. That's what he is calling us to do. Be alert and of sober mind. He's telling us to be alert. Christ came, and that's one thing that Christ preaches so much in all the parables and all through his ministries about being prepared, being ready. We should stand and be alert. He's talking to all members of the church now to be alert and of sober mind. Please bring it up. If you see something in the church, we don't always see everything. If you see something misused in a church, if you see something, please bring it to the church. He says, be alert and of sober mind. This is not of an emotional mind. Oh, Daryl hurt my boo-boos. No, this is not what he's talking about. Of sober mind. Is it really something to do with the church? I'll just say it right now. It makes me mad when people leave the church because they got their feelings hurt. I'm sorry. That makes me very upset. Because sometimes we are not sober-minded. We are inward-minded. I'm thinking about what was spoken to me, biblical or not, but it hurt my feelings, and I'm just going to go away from the church. That's not a reason to leave the church. Bring it to the leaders of the church and talk about that. We need to learn how to have conflict in the church. Daryl's not great at it. I'm not great at it, but we're working on it. You know who the best person to have conflict in the whole Bible was? Jesus Christ. He was the most conflictual person in there. There was nothing he was backing away from. There was nothing he wouldn't bring up. There was nothing that he wanted to make us think about. But he tells us to be of sober mind. Why? He says, because the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Sorry, we're running out of time here. Looking forward to someone to what? To devour. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. The devil didn't come to just nibble on you. This is talking about devouring. Devour means crushing your bones, crushing all of you, ripping apart. This is a word that's tearing apart. That's what Satan comes to do. Satan hates God because of his pride, because he wants to be God, and he know he can't. And he hates God, and he hates anything that God loves. So Satan comes around looking for someone to devour. That's why he calls us to be alert. And let me tell you something. Satan's tactics don't always come in the way of bad things. Just a big warning there. Satan's ways can come in pleasure. Satan's way can come in a lot of things. It says in 1 Corinthians that he will come as an angel of light. Satan is a great deceiver. Anything that is brought into your life that is leading you away from Christ? Question it. You think maybe it's good? Oh, believe me, I know I struggle with those things. So that's what he's telling us, to be of sober mind about that. Because he comes, he says what to do? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. That means I stand on the word of God. I stand and I trust the will of God. He says, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Also, we should pray for our brothers and sisters around the world daily, for who are really going through sufferings. There are people that are really going, being hung and beheaded and crucified for the name of Christ today, right now, that are going through this. And it's so easy for us to see our little small persecutions that we forget about the real persecutions that they are going to. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. And amen, to him be the power forever and ever.